It's going to be a great week at River West Church. Tuesday morning, Pastor Christopher and I will go pick up Pastor Nopum, who's flying in from Myanmar. A brother named Tony Nash will be with him from Singapore. And they'll spend the week with us. It's going to be awesome. On Friday night, we have a meeting here at 6:30. For anybody that can come, if you'd like to just come and hear more about his ministry, about his life, about kind of his story. It's really an amazing thing. And that'll be on Friday night. And then on Sunday morning, he'll also be here, not preaching, but I'm going to be interviewing him and asking questions about his life and his journey. And so it's going to be a really great time. Would you please pray about that, that the Lord would use that in his life and use it in our lives as well? That would be an awesome thing. And don't forget, Thursday night, we have our Summer in the Psalms. So at 6:30, it's a time of prayer and worship and different pastor every Thursday night, and I'm looking forward to that as well. If you have a Bible, open up to the book of Philippians. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and by faith, I'm stating that somebody will come to you and hand you a Bible. So raise your hand. You can open up to the book of Philippians. How about that book of Philippians? How many people here would just say Philippians is awesome? Do you know Philippians? You know it. You know it. Some of you know the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is four chapters long. I mean, I'm thinking in some Bibles it's only four pages long, right? It's a letter. It's a short letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. Four chapters long, four pages long, and yet it reads like a highlight reel of famous Christian truths. It's really remarkable. And so I want you to listen to some of these. I didn't put them on the screen, so I'm just going to say them to you because I want you to just jog your memory and say, have you heard a verse that goes like this? I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion into the day of Christ. He started a good work. He'll finish it. Have you heard that verse? That's from the book of Philippians, and it's awesome. How about this verse in chapter 1 and verse 21? For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's a great verse. Philippians. How about this one? Have you ever heard this verse in chapter 3? Things get pretty intense. Paul says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him even in his death. That's the Apostle Paul. He says, I count everything lost that I might know him, to know Christ. Book of Philippians. How about this? He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What a great verse. And then you get to chapter 4, and of course, you have verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Right? It's a famous verse from Philippians. How about this one? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Did you know that? I mean, it just reads like a highlight list of profound Christian truth. And so we are going through the book of Philippians. We're going to take 9 or 10 weeks to go through this powerful book, but we're looking at it from a specific perspective, and it's actually another verse that I didn't read to you right this morning, but we mentioned it last week. It's in chapter 2 and verse 5 where it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, or as the ESV says, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. And we said that's our theme verse for Philippians. It is the mind of Christ. Nothing is more important. Nothing is more needed in our lives right now than the mind of Christ. I got up last Sunday and I started off by saying that my heart is hurting and my head is spinning because of the events of the previous week. Here I am a week later, and you know what? My heart is hurting and my head is spinning because of the events of this last week. And I was thinking of the tragedy in Nice, France. Unbelievable. I was thinking about Turkey. Like, what in the world is going on? And then between services, somebody came and said, well, did you hear there was a shooting? I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, I'm telling you, we're living in really, really amazing times, disturbing times. Can I put it like that? And this is timely. I asked the question, Lord, what am I supposed to think in times like this? What am I supposed to feel in times like this? And God's answer from the book of Philippians is the mind of Christ. You need to think and you need to feel and you need to live with the mind of Christ. It's God's call for us as Christians. But it's not just a calling, it's a promise. In the ESV it says, let this mind be in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you, which is yours. This mind which is yours in Christ. It's yours. I mean, God can do this work in us. He can do something amazing. You remember last week when we started into this whole study, we basically said two things last week. We said that the mind of Christ, to think and to feel with the mind of Christ, it begins with the gospel of Christ. That's the starting place. Begins with the gospel. Here's a verse. It's not as famous as some of the other ones, but maybe it should be. Take a look at it in Philippians chapter 1. This is a little review. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The gospel leads the way. To have the mind of Christ, to think and feel with the heart and mind of Christ, from the perspective of Christ, it always starts with the gospel of Christ. And so we saw that last week. We saw how Paul went to the city of Philippi. And he began to proclaim the gospel, and he saw this person and that person and another person. God opened their heart. They received the gospel of Christ. They heard the story of how Christ had died for their sins and he rose again in triumph. And these people said, that's the greatest news I've ever heard. And their lives were changed. Their perspective was changed. Their allegiances began to be transformed. They were a new creation in Christ, as the Bible says. And then we said, it starts with the gospel of Christ, but it leads to the community of Christ. Leads to the community of Christ. And that's why he says, I'm so thankful for your partnership. Partnership. Koinonia. Fellowship. Community. He says, I'm thankful that God has taken this individual and that individual and this individual who's been transformed by the gospel, is being transformed, and has united them together as a community of Christ's people in a hurting world. That's the picture that we're given. And it's a community that's on a mission in the world. Now, you may say, Pastor, I want the mind of Christ, but I don't want the gospel of Christ. I want the mind of Christ. I mean, who wouldn't want the mind of Christ? That's got to be so cool to have the mind of Christ, because Jesus is loving. And, you know, it'd be like some kind of a Zen state, you know. It's like the mind of Christ. It's like, oh, just so awesome, just peaceful, loving, wise. I want the mind of Christ, but I don't want the gospel of Christ. It doesn't work that way. You can never have the mind of Christ without having the gospel of Christ. Why is that? Because the gospel is about mission. It's about impacting the world. And Jesus, in the New Testament, he's the first missionary in the New Testament. Jesus came into the world on mission to seek and save the lost, Jesus said. Jesus is on mission. That's what he's thinking. You know what Jesus is thinking? He's thinking, we got to reach the world. So if you want to think with the mind of Christ, if you want to feel with the mind of Christ, it has to begin with the gospel, because that's what's on Jesus' mind. You say, well, Pastor, that's fine. I'd like to have the mind of Christ, but I don't want to have the community of Christ, because the community of Christ is a mess. It's a mess. It's a hassle. It's a bunch of imperfect people. I don't want Christian community. I want the mind of Christ. That's awesome, but not the community of Christ. And you cannot have the mind of Christ without the community of Christ. And you know why? It's because you know what Jesus is thinking about? He's thinking about his church. He's thinking about Christian community. He's thinking about taking this life and that life and the next life and bringing them together in a partnership of shared life and mission in the world so they together can shine as a light for Christ in a broken world. That's what's in Christ's mind and in his heart. So if I have the mind of Christ, then that's what he's going to do in me, you see. Now, we're going to take 9 or 10 weeks and go through Philippians, and all we're going to do is talk about what is the mind of Christ? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What's the lens that God gives us in the mind of Christ? And I hope you're not going to be surprised that as we do that, we're going to be challenged. If we weren't going to be challenged, it would mean that we already, all of us, and as a group, have the mind of Christ and operate in the mind of Christ perfectly. I don't think so. Right? So we have room to grow. It's a process. And the Lord uses his word. He uses the Holy Spirit and with our prayers. And he begins to transform us in the way we think, in the way we look at ourselves, the way we look at our world. That's the mind of Christ being developed in us. This morning, we're going to talk about personal pain and suffering in our lives. Oh, joy. We're going to talk about personal pain and suffering in life. Now, anytime I realize I'm going to talk about personal pain and suffering in church, I realize I have an audience. I have an audience. Because if you live in the same world that I do, then at some point along the line, it hits you. We live in a broken world. Something happens. Or we just watch the news. We go, oh my gosh, that's horrible, but sometimes we're in the news. Or sometimes, you know, something comes to our door and it's difficult. What does the mind of Christ have to do with our own personal pain or our own difficulties or hard circumstances in life? How do they connect? Let me give you 3 options. What if you see the personal pain and difficulties in your life as? Option number 1, the worst possible thing that could happen to you and proof that God doesn't love you. It's a real option. It's option number 1 for a lot of people. Anytime personal pain comes in my life or hardship or suffering or difficulty, option number 1 is it's the worst thing that could happen and it's proof that God doesn't love me. He doesn't care. He's not involved in my life. That's option number 1. And if you hold that perspective in your life, how does that impact your view of your life, your view of your circumstances, your view of the world around you? Here's option number 2. What if you see the personal pain and difficulties in your life as meaningless suffering that has no redeeming purpose in our world? It's just meaningless. It's just random. It's just meaningless. It means nothing. There's no redeeming purpose for it. That's option number 2. And if you view your world and your life and your experience through that lens, that perspective, how is that going to impact you as a person in this world? Here's option number 3. What if you see the personal pain and difficulties of your life as a unique opportunity for God to display the truth and the power of the gospel to you and through you? That's option number 3. They're very different options. You get option number 1, option number 3 in particular, right? You say, well, wait a minute. What if this is an opportunity, as painful as it is, as difficult as it is, what if this is an opportunity for God to display the truth and power of the gospel, like to me, and through me in my life? Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 1 in verse 12. And let's see where the Apostle Paul goes in this short letter. Now, think about the Bible for a minute. there's no wasted words in the Bible. There's none wasted. You know, I just read the highlight reel of famous verses in Philippians. There's a lot of great, just power, 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 just awesome. Okay, it's 4 chapters long. Think about Paul. Paul is, you know, like he's writing from prison in Rome. And this letter has to be carried by hand. Like they're not emailing anything. You know, it's like by hand, across the empire, over to Philippi. And there's no wasted words. Every word is important. And what does Paul do? He goes into this paragraph about his own personal pain, his own personal difficulties. That's where he takes us in this book about the mind of Christ. Chapter 1, verse 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, even as my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's that famous verse. But the run-up to the famous verse, to live is Christ and to die is gain, the run-up to it is an exploration of the Apostle Paul's personal pain, his personal, circumstantial, and relational difficulties in his life. And what does he do? He takes all of that and he sees it through a gospel-shaped lens. Here's a principle for us this morning. To think and feel and live with the mind of Christ is to live with a sense of gospel purpose for your life. Gospel purpose. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know the things that have happened to me, they've actually happened for the advance of the gospel. Option number 3 on the perspective. They've happened for the advancement of the gospel. Now, here's what we know. We know that to be a Christian in the city of Philippi was tough going. It was super hard to be a Christian in that town. We talked about it a little bit last week. This town is a Roman colony. Caesar Augustus, having won a super important victory there, was grateful to Philippi and the soldiers had fought there. And so, and this is rare in the Roman Empire, he declared it a colony of Rome. It's like a little outpost of Rome. When you go through the gates of that town, you may as well be in Rome itself. And then what he did is he started giving property to Roman soldiers and family and members, you know, the political guys who he owed a favor to, and he'd go, I got a place for you. I got a great, awesome place in Philippi. We're going to send you out there with your family and set you up. So what's going on in Philippi? It's populated with all of these people who are pretty hardcore. A lot of Roman soldiers, retired, hardcore guys, who when they were in the Roman army, they pledged their allegiance to Caesar and to obey on pain of death. I was talking to a brother last week about this after church. On pain of death. And these guys are hardcore into Rome, into Caesar. And so it was super hard to not be in that camp. And what happens when you come to Christ? When the gospel comes to you? You have a new allegiance. You have a new king. We've heard that you Christians, you believe in another king. Jesus, King Jesus, Lord Jesus. What's that about? So instantly, there's this friction, there's this tension with the culture and Christians. People sense it right away. They go, you're not one of us. You don't fit in here. You have a different point of view. People lost their businesses. People lost their friends. It's tough going in Philippi. Well, Paul knows that. So what does Paul do? Paul's in Rome, and he's in prison for the gospel. He's chained. Literally, it says in my chains in the Greek. He's chained to a Roman guard, the Praetorian Guard. There's 9,000 of them. And so, you know, they had prisoner duty, and they would, like, rotate every 4 hours. You get a new guard. Same chain, new guard. And that's Paul. And it's tough going for him. It's hard stuff. So what does Paul do? Now, Paul's not boasting. He's not going, I'm so amazing. Look at me, I'm so amazing. What Paul is doing is Paul's saying, I want to use my life as an example to inspire you. I want to inspire you. That you could have a gospel lens for your life, and that includes a gospel lens for your personal pain and for the difficulties of your life. It changes everything when that happens. Now, the Apostle Paul, the guy had been through a lot. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just four verses. There's like the famous list of stuff that Paul had been through in his life. Okay, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 24. He says, five times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Okay, 40 lashes. Lashes. Less one for mercy's sake. Do the math. Let's see, 40 times five. That's a lot. Five times. If it had been me, I think it might have been one. I would have said, you know, Lord, I'm not really so sure about this stuff, you know. Put in my time, I got my 39 lashes, okay. I'm out. Not Paul. He just kept coming back for more. It was amazing. Okay, what else? He says in verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods. One of them was at Philippi, by the way. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at the sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all other things, there's the daily pressure on me with anxiety because of all the churches. There's quite a list, right? You want to talk about personal pain and suffering. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Paul does not say these things to boast. Anytime Paul shares from his own personal pain, he does it simply as an encouragement, as a model. And that's what he's doing for the Philippians, because he knows that they too are going to encounter some difficulties in their life because of their faith in Christ. When you live with a sense of gospel purpose in your life, it puts a new perspective on the pain and difficulty of your life. That's really what Paul is saying. And this is the mind of Christ. Part of the mind of Christ. Right? Did Jesus suffer anything? Oh, yeah. Of course he did. Of course there was the cross, but there's all kinds of suffering in the life of Jesus, right? It's part of the mind of Christ. In other words, am I willing to go through any hardship for the mission of God in our world? See, that's the question. Now, if you're on Philippians 1 and you take your page and you turn it back one page, I'm turning one page, You'll be on Ephesians 6, most likely in your Bible. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 is about the full armor of God. It's like we put on, it's a metaphor for putting on all these spiritual like weapons, and then we're going to stand for Christ. One of them, in 6:15, it says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So in all the armor, he says, for your feet, for your shoes, you have to put on gospel shoes. Gospel shoes. And I've always loved that picture. And the reason why is because I used to have really tough feet. Southern Cal, hanging out at the beach, I could walk across scalding asphalt. No problem. Feet like leather. I could walk across pointy gravel rocks, scalding. No problem. Board shorts, t-shirt. I'm walking on scalding, pointy rocks. I'm awesome. Now, the problem is that years later, I kind of lost my edge, and my feet are as soft as a baby's bottom, you know? And so I couldn't walk across anything, a blade of grass. No way, you know? And one day it occurred to me, I'm thinking about this dynamic, and I'm thinking, you know, gospel shoes. And the Roman army, these guys were tough. You know what they had? They had these gnarly sandals, like just gnarly tread, you know, spikes on the bottom of them, big leather, you know, just for warfare. Because if you're going to move in a dangerous world that's full of hurt, you got to protect your feet. So what does Paul say in Ephesians? He says, you know what you need? You need gospel shoes. Gospel shoes. If my child or my grandchild was running out in the street, a gravel road, scalding, and I was standing barefoot, you know what I'd do? I'd run right out there, and I wouldn't even feel it. You know what I mean? Have you ever been in that situation where, you know, you just, it's an emergency, and you just react, and then you don't even feel it. You don't even know you got hurt, you know? Why is that? Because the mission is so pressing, it's so important. You're just going and you're like, I didn't even feel, I didn't even know. Like, look at, I got hurt. Well, wow. What about that? You feel it later. But at the time you don't. Why is that? Because when you live with a sense of mission or a sense of purpose in your life, it changes your experience of everything. It changes your perspective of everything. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, put on gospel shoes. He's saying, I want you to know the stuff that I've been through. You've heard about it because I'm in prison. I'm chained to a guard. I'm immobile. It's tough going. There's all that stuff. He goes, it's served to the advancement of the gospel. What if option number three is that somehow God can use this situation to put on display the truth and the power of the gospel to me and through me? That's the perspective of Paul. That's the mind of Christ that Paul is talking about, and it's an awesome thing. You know, in life, we need models. We need to see examples of people who live these things out, who live out the mind of Christ. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Pastor Nopum to us. I knew we couldn't all go over there and hang out with him, so I'm like, you need to come over here. And the pretense is we're going to help you with your ministry, and we are. We're going to see and pray about how can we help and become more involved over there and do some great things. But really, the rest of the story is, I'm like, I just want you to come over here so we can just all see you and meet you. Because when we were in Myanmar, one of the things that really amazed me was when we had asked him about how difficult it may be to do that ministry in Myanmar, where presumably there's a lot of opposition to the gospel and to Christians. And we'd say things like, so tell us, like, what's super hard about being a Christian in this country and trying to have an impact for Christ. And he kind of looked at us like, I don't really know what you're talking about. What do you mean hard? What does that mean? I'm like, well, let me explain it again. So you're trying to, like, and he's like, I don't really get it. Because he's so gospel-minded that in the perspective of the gospel, the stuff that was opposition didn't seem that significant to him. I'm like, okay, I got to get around this guy a little bit more. I got to take some notes on this. How cool is that? We all need models in life. You know, later in Philippians chapter 3, take a look at verse 17. Here's what Paul says, 3:17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. He says, you need to, like, watch. Another place he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We learn by watching. Some of the things we're going to talk about in Philippians are very challenging to us. But we learn by watching. Find out, what's that person's attitude and that person's attitude? In my Christian ministry, I've been around people who have gone through very difficult things. And I've noticed there's kind of a couple of versions of that. Some people go through difficult things and it just completely blows them out. They take option number one. This is the worst thing that could happen and it means that God isn't with me or for me. Okay, but sometimes I meet people who take option number three and they say, this is a really hard thing, but you know what? I'm trusting and I'm watching to see how God might use this in me and through me. And those people are like my heroes, and I'm like, I'm taking notes. You know, I want to get around them, and I want to learn that. Now, where are we headed as Christians? Where are we headed in our culture? Where is our world headed? I can't tell you, but I can pretty much guarantee that we are going to need the mind of Christ more and more. And now we want to develop that mind of Christ in our thinking and in our feeling. That's the way this works. Let's keep reading. I want to show something to you. In verse 15 of Philippians 1, it says, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. I think it's interesting that Paul mentioned this. I mean, he's in prison. He's physically suffering. It's very difficult. He gets beaten and whipped. And now he's talking about rivalry in the church. Isn't that fascinating? Here's what I've discovered, that oftentimes the greatest pain we experience actually comes from other people, not from circumstances, not from physical sickness. It comes from people who hurt us. And sometimes the greatest pain is from Christians who hurt us. He's talking about Christians. Is it possible that Christian leaders, you know, are going, hey, this is our opportunity to get it over on Paul, you know? That doesn't sound right, but it happens. And why is Paul sharing? Because he knows that even at Philippi, there's guys like that. Maybe you've been hurt in your life and have personal pain, and it might be even from someone in church. It might be someone from someone in church leadership. Why is Paul saying this? Because what are you going to do? Is it going to blow you out of the water? Are you going to say, I'm done with Christian community? That's not the mind of Christ. Paul says, hey, you know what? Christ has preached. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to see this through the lens of the gospel. That's the mind of Christ. What an amazing, beautiful thing it is. Let me show you something else. Take a look at verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. How should we pray? Sometimes I talk to Christians who are going through hard times, and we talk about how's the right way to pray about this. Maybe it's a physical sickness or circumstances or a relational problem. What's the best way to pray about this? And I always go to that verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. My eager expectation and hope
that I will not be ashamed, but with full courage as always, Christ will be honored or magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And I always say this, pray, however you pray, always pray this. Lord, I pray first, no matter what the outcome, I pray that you'll be glorified. That's a good prayer. No matter what the outcome, and there's a certain outcome I'm lobbying for in prayer. You know, I want to see this happen, Lord, I'm praying. But no matter what the outcome, I pray that somehow you'll be glorified, that you'll be magnified, that Christ will be lifted up through this. Pray that prayer and mean it. And that changes your perspective. All of a sudden, you start looking at your situation totally differently, and you look at God differently. And God can do a miracle in your life. And he will. He does gospel miracles all the time. How about the famous verse, verse 21? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There it is. It's such a beautiful verse. How do you defeat a guy who has that kind of attitude? To me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can you imagine Paul with the Roman guards? They're in there, and he's chained to this guard, you know, and the guard's like, well, sex for you. What do you think about all this? And Paul says, well, for me, actually, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The guy's like, what? Where'd you come up with that? Paul said, well, let me explain that to you. Let me explain my gospel perspective. To live is Christ. That means there's actually something more important in life than my own comfort or safety. There's something more important than my immediate worldly success. There's something more important than me being able to accomplish the stuff on my agenda, which is not sitting in prison, but there's something more important. And it's the purpose of Christ, the will of Christ. That's the most important thing to me. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Now, Paul says, here's what happened. In the Praetorian Guard, Paul became a news item. These guards are going out and going, have you been with prisoner 532 down here? You got to go talk to that guy. You know, they're on a sign-up list to go hang out with Paul. You know, he's like, tell me again about your perspective. Well, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Let me tell you my story. And all of a sudden, going through Rome and the guard, the Praetorian Guard, is this news about this guy who has this amazing attitude, this amazing perspective in a hurting, broken world. And Paul says, it's worked to the advance of the gospel. Isn't that powerful? Here's the mind of Christ. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's two sides of an equation. You got to be good at both of those sides of the equation. As a pastor, I have presided at a lot of memorial services through the years. And in almost every memorial service, we have a little bulletin that we make up, a little program that we make up, and it has the name of the deceased. And then it says date of birth, and then there's a dash, and then it has the day that they died on there. And it's an amazing thing to see. And it doesn't matter if they may have lived, you know, for 25 years, 45 years, 55, 95 years, and that dash looks just about the same on every one of them, you know? And the question is, what do we do with that short life that God has given us? A guy by the name of Toby was at the 9 o'clock service. He's a bit of a character. And Toby came up. He goes, I want to tell you a story, Pastor. He's got a lot of stories. He says, you know, I went to my cardiologist, and I was, you know, not doing that well. And the cardiologist looked at me and said, you need to slow down or you're going to die. So he went away, and he didn't slow down. And he came back a couple years later. And the cardiologist said, you didn't slow down, did you? And he said, not really. She said, well, let me put it to you like this. You either need to slow down or you need to write your obituary. So he thought, that's a great idea. I need to write my obituary. I mean, it did get to him. He did slow down. But he actually said, that's a great idea. I'm going to write my obituary. So he sat down and he wrote his name out, and then he wrote the date he was born in a dash. And he went, this feels really weird. And that's like God spoke to him and said, what are you going to do with the dash? Like, what are you going to do with that? And now being Toby, he goes around to people all the time. He says, hey, what are you going to do with the dash? You know, it's a great conversation starter. What are you going to do with the dash? Because it's always going to be shorter than you think, right? And you're going to fill in the blank and say, to live is, and then you fill it in. What are you going to say? Well, to live, like for me, like to really live, is just to experience as much of this world as I can. Work as little and have as much fun as I can. That's life, right? To me, to live, that's it. Oh, to me, to live is to just learn as much as I can and be as successful as I can. I mean, you know, we could all fill in the blank. Like, to really live, that's it. But Paul says, you know what? To live is Christ. To live is Christ. And to die is actually gain. It's gain. How amazing when a person has that perspective in their life. But how few have that perspective. Sometimes when I do a memorial service, I go on a little detective work trying to find signs of faith of the gospel in a person's life. You know, I'm asking questions and I'm looking for any indication of a person that they had faith, that they loved Jesus, that to live was Christ for them. Sometimes it's really hard to find. I had one time, you know, the family wanted me to do this service for the person. And I'm like, well, what would you like at the service? Would you like a hymn, Christian hymn? No, we don't want any Christian hymns. Okay. How about, was there a favorite Bible verse? Is there something like from the Bible that was meaningful? Nah, we don't really want the Bible. I'm thinking, this is going to be a short service. What about personal sharing? You know, people get up and say how amazing this guy was. Well, actually, it's probably not that much to share. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, it's like, wow. True story, right? So what about you? What are you going to do with the dash? You say to live is Christ. And so I live my life with a gospel purpose. I do things in my life that are joyful. I mean, it's not like we're all signing up for suffering here. It's just like we live in a broken world, but you know, and you have a life and you have a career and you have a family and you have things that you do, but can you say, but to live is Christ? I have a higher purpose than all these other things in my life. And to die is gain. Because when you walk with Jesus and you get to know Jesus, it's not so scary to go and be with Jesus. Apostle Paul, like he knew. He had a beyond and back experience where he was stoned and left for dead. And in 2 Corinthians, he talks about leaving his body and going and seeing the glory of heaven and then coming back. Like he knew the glory of heaven. It's amazing. What if we can live on both sides of that equation? That's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. And it changes everything. And one of the things it changes is it changes our perception of our own personal pain and difficulties in life. And that's all important in a broken world. Now, Paul said in Philippians 1 in verse 19, I know that this will turn to my deliverance through your prayers and the supply or the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray for each other to get the mind of Christ. Let's pray for one another to grow in this together. Thursday night, our Thursday Summer in the Psalms will be here. We'll be praying. Actually, Nopun will be with us. We're going to pray for him on Thursday night. So come and pray, and let's ask him to pray for us. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will give us the mind of Christ and give us this perspective, this gospel perspective that actually begins to change everything in our lives. That's what we need for the times that we live. Let's say a prayer right now. Our Father in heaven, we trust you, Lord, for the future. We trust you for today, Lord. I guess every day we're made more aware that we don't know what a day will bring. All we know is that you hold the day, Lord. You hold us. And so, Lord, I'm praying that you'll help us to have the mind of Christ, Lord, that we can look at our world through a different point of view. We can look at it through the love of Christ, the truth of Christ, the mission of Christ, and the promises of Christ for eternity, Lord. Help us, I pray. Right now, can we just take a minute? And I know that for sure there's all kinds of suffering and difficulties and pain that we've all experienced in life. Some of it is physical, some of it is relational. There's a lot of stuff. Take a minute right now. Ask God, by the power of the Spirit, to renew your mind and to help you to see all of that through a different lens. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now that they might begin to live as those on a quest to see what you can do through even the most difficult circumstances to bring honor to Christ. We love you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.